Welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. It has become obvious Iran has a plan to end this war of aggression against it, a war it did not start. The Trump administration talks of deals. What Iran demands is a strategic solution to the region's security crisis. And Iran has the cards and allies to make it happen. Crosstalking Iran, I'm joined by my guest, Daniel McAdams in Lake Jackson. He is the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. In China, we have Alex Reportafy. He is a geopolitical analyst. And in Tehran, we have Firashte Sagadeh. She is a freelance journalist and political analyst. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's kick it off with Daniel, who got up earliest for the program. I very much appreciate it. Daniel, you know, we have a situation in which we have parallel universes again. In watching the Iranian leadership, particularly its foreign minister Arachi, traveling to Pakistan, calling regional leaders, visiting Moscow, it's creating a coalition. What I would think is for a security arrangement for the region. Meanwhile, we have the Trump administration and its supporters in the media claiming that there's no leadership in Iran. We're almost have a deal. They're almost caved to our position. We can go on and on and on. And it's very, very unhelpful because it is completely devoid of facts. The Iranians have a plan. Actually, I'm calling this program Calling the Shots. And that's exactly what they're doing. Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Iranian leadership has realized now that there are no negotiating partners in the U.S., hence the foreign minister Araghchi's trips around the region and beyond. He realizes that there's no way to do a deal with the clown show of Witkoff and Kushner and J.D. Vance, who's not able to even, I guess, go to the bathroom without permission from Bibi Netanyahu. He's on the phone all the time. They had a meeting. So I think Iran is just saying we don't have a partner here. We've got to try to take the bull by the horns ourselves and set up a new regional security and let the U.S. fight it out. Because there's literally the Trump administration, President Trump himself, will literally, within the course of a half an hour, contradict himself five or six times. So there's just no paying attention. I mean, I'm with them. I can't read anything he says either. This is an absolute clown show.
Alex, what was right after the failed vaudeville show, first round in Islamabad, Daniel's already made reference to the three characters that were representing the United States. Afterwards, it was the Speaker of the Iranian Parliament said that Iran will only negotiate with a framework. Well, we have that framework now. It has been amplified all around the world, except for American media didn't hear it. Is that this has to be a process? The end of the blockade, the American blockade, which is illegal, which is a violation of the ceasefire. And then to come to some kind of conclusion about the operation of the Strait of Hormuz. Then, when those two things are taken care of, and once those two things are taken care of, many of the other points of the Iran's 10-point program will have been resolved. And then there is the nuclear file, which will be dealt separately. And that is their framework. That is their strategy. It is coherent, but the United States doesn't seem to want to play ball. Because, and as we'll talk about later in the program, maybe they don't really want any negotiations. Alex, how do you read all this?
Well, the Americans have no choice. Their economy is about to go into the sewer. The last VLCC container ship arrived on their shores just a few days ago. And if anyone has, you know, a little bit of knowledge, that the average container ship goes about the speed of a bicycle. And I'm not joking with that. So if you've blocked oil leaving the Hormuz Strait and you're anticipating keeping your economy going, your lights on, your people fed, well, you should have thought about that a few weeks ago. And now the Iranians definitely know this. This is right in their backyard. The Americans are at the mercy. And I'm just waiting for the administration to, yes, get on their hands and knees and beg for the Iranians to open it again, even though it was open. Then the Americans kind of closed it and said, well, we want it open, but then again, maybe it should be closed. So let's see what plays out here in the next couple of weeks here. What we're seeing in spot traded oil is not what you see on the derivatives paper trade on the American markets, like, you know, the spot trade in COMEX and the CME market here in Chicago. You're seeing a print of 97.98, but in reality, that's about $130 to $135 per barrel. And again, the Americans keep banging on that we are a net exporter of oil. Yes, you are, but you are the net exporter of real dirty fracking oil that you can't even manage to clean up and use in your own economy, so you have to ship it out. So they're in dire straits here. The American economy is going to go into a free fall.
Yeah, and the midterms are dead ahead. Firasta in Tehran, the way I read the Iranian position, and they're playing, I would say, the long game, because they have the cards to play a long game. Oh, Iran will be sanctioned. What? It's been sanctioned for so long. It's an economy that has been able to exist despite sanctions, and those sanctions will ricochet back on the American and European consumer, not to speak of South Asia. But the way I look at it is that Iran's proposition is very clear. Security for everyone or security for none. It's about as simple as that.
Actually, yes. And the problem with the Trump administration, or better to say even Trump's regime, is that they don't know what they want. And President Trump looks like a magician. Every day he comes and he takes a new rabbit out of his hat. One day he say blockade. Another day he says their oil wells will explode in 3 days. Now I think 3 days have passed and Iranian oil wells have not exploded. And the problem with the Iranians is that the problem that the Iranians have with this, with this administration is that they are untrustworthy. You can't trust President Trump at all. And the people who are around him, every day, every morning that they wake up with a new idea to disturb the status quo with Iran. And for some time, they might be successful, but it doesn't work at the end of the day. As you said, Iran has many cards to play. Right now, the choking point is the Strait of Hormuz. They have kept it. And I was once a friend was saying that they don't need even to fire to launch any missiles or fire any drones at other countries. I mean, the Persian Gulf countries that they host American bases. They just need to choke the Strait of Hormuz. And it is exactly what Iranians are doing. And they are
Foreste, I would also point out it's the Lloyd's of London that is choking this too, because no one is going to insure these ships here. I mean, we can talk about the blockaders blocking the blockade, but it's money that's talking right here. And they're saying, and these companies are saying, and until there is stability, we're not going to underwrite any of this here. Okay, so this is one of these cases where big capital is making itself heard. Daniel, I can't help but think, because of the June war and the same cast of characters representing the United States, and then these same people were in Islamabad, is this just a big deception? Because as we're speaking right now, there is a huge amount of American military material going to Israel. I mean, you can see the planes lining up at Ben Gurion Airport. I mean, this is what they traffic in, deception. How do you see this?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's the Israelification of U.S. foreign policy, and that's exactly what we're seeing. But while we have seen this airlift increase in the last few weeks, and we have the third carrier group there. By the way, they're not being provisioned. The poor sailors there are eating basically garbage. There's no food because I think they were getting their food from the UAE, and that's not available anymore. But the issue is, you know, you probably saw this about a week ago, I guess it was. I think it was CSIS. I could be wrong. But they came out with a study, and they found that in the 40 days of U.S. war against Iran, we fired off, I think, half of our weapons in certain categories, precision-guided missiles, 50% gone. So that is one option that's not even as available as it was before. They can move everything there, but if they don't have anything to shoot, then it's not going to be a very effective thing. So
Professor Mohammed Mirandi said on this program that a lot of those sites that were just obliterated, to use the administration's favorite word, were empty buildings, empty warehouses, because after the 12-day war, they knew that that was only phase one and that they moved valuable material and personnel out of those sites. So they were just hitting empty buildings. Keep going, Daniel.
No, and that's and that's a great point, because not only have they run out of weapons, but they've run out of targets. There's nothing to shoot.
Run out of targets.
You know, that's why they're shooting schools and they're blowing up schools and hospitals, because the real action is deep underground and there's no way to get it. So it's an absolute, you know, blank show right now. There are no options. They can't do diplomacy. The reason the U.S. looks running around like a chicken with his head cut off is because President Trump's not listening to his own intelligence community. He's listening to the Mossad. He's listening to Netanyahu create narratives. Oh, the Iranian government is so confused. They're so mixed up. We don't know who we're talking to. That's all manufactured, not in D.C., but elsewhere. So this is a huge, huge problem that the Trump administration is at, and there's nothing they can do. He would be lucky if he gets a JCPOA, which he can't accept. So the impasse, I don't see how the impasse is stopped without, as you said earlier, him begging Iran for forgiveness.
Well, I mean, Alex, there's the 800-pound gorilla in the corner is always Israel. I mean, if we believe the narrative reported by the New York Times, which I very rarely do, but I'll take them on this one, is that Israel played a key role. It didn't make the ultimate decision. Donald Trump is responsible for this, and it will be his legacy. But if they have had a sway in starting the war, I would imagine they have a lot of sway to make Trump keep the war going. Alex.
I'm not so sure about that. When the lights go out in Israel, it's game over. And that's exactly what's going to happen. They miscalculated what was going on here in the Strait of Hormuz. We are talking about a catastrophic oil shock that is going to hit the world economy. Doesn't matter what Bibi says. You can send Jared Kushner. I call him the Undertaker, because when you sit down with that guy, 48 hours later, you're dead. And that's a fact. And that, you know, as I say, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. His father, Charles, actually spent years in prison, and it was actually pardoned by President Trump. He was in there for tax evasion, witness tampering. So you're sending Junior over there to negotiate a deal for the Americans. Not going to happen. They need to turn around their naval fleet, head back to Newport Beach in California, and get ready to serve the people that need to be fed when fertilizer skyrockets, helium skyrockets, potash skyrockets, food costs skyrocket, and oil and gas skyrocket. He has a major problem on his hands, and the people are going to starve.
On that very gloomy note, we have to go to a break, and after that break, we'll continue our discussion on Iran. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Iran. Okay, let's go back to our guest in Tehran, Fereshteh. What is it, you know, you're in Tehran right now. What is the feeling of they use the word kinetic, the kinetic element of this conflict will resume. What is the feeling in Tehran, and how do people feel about the possibility of the war getting hot again?
Actually, Peter, you may not believe it, But people are really ready for a new round of war or strikes by the Americans and Israelis. And they've been waiting for it for such a long time. They say that this status quo, which is uncertainty, should not continue for a long time. So either it should be this way or that way. And if it is going through war, we are ready. They are fully supporting the Islamic Republic, its politicians, its diplomats, and at the same time, the armed forces. I think it was a few days ago that in major squares that people gather every night, the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, they have sent several missiles to different cities in Shiraz, in Tehran, in Bushehr, to assure people that we are at your service and we are supporting you and we are defending you. So people are not worried about new war, because at the end of the day, we know that Iran is writing on the right side, and we are the winner of this war, though there will be some casualties or some damage to the country.
You know, Daniel, there's been a number of scenarios that are being mentioned, that one of them is Trump resumes a massive bombing campaign, which if the first stage of this didn't do, didn't achieve the result they wanted, I don't know what a second round would be. Obviously, the Israelis want to keep the conflict going for their ends. But then there are those that are saying that Trump will just walk away from it. If he just walked away, I would be pleased with that, okay? But I just don't see that in the cards. Politically, that would be just disastrous. Daniel.
Well, you know, it seemed to me the Biden administration was the most hapless foreign policy crew that I've ever seen in my adult life following U.S. foreign policy. But this crew makes them look like absolute geniuses, masters of strategy. I mean, this is a catastrophic series of miscalculations on the U.S. part. This is what happens when, as an analyst, you are guilty of mirror imaging. You see the rest of the world as you see yourself. And so the administration and its quote-unquote experts were absolutely certain that if you strangle the Iranians a little bit, they will scream and cry uncle. All they understand is force. Put some more force on them and it'll work. Did they forget the 1980 to 1988 war between Iraq and Iran and what Iran had to suffer there at the hands of the United States, by the way, which provided the precursor chemicals for the chemical weapons that were used, or the sanctions? I mean, nobody seems to know history at all. You have the greatest own goal in the history of foreign wars, I would say. I don't know if there has been a worse one. And now you have the administration in the situation where they have to spend an enormous amount of energy undoing the problems caused by the war itself. Case in point, Marco Rubio said Iran cannot be the sole beneficiaries of an illegal, unlawful, and unjustified system of tolling and controlling the straits. Well, they weren't doing that before the war, Marco. Guess what? You caused it.
Yeah, you know, Alex, I mean, this administration would be envious of going back to the status quo ante, but we're never going to be there. That's never going to happen, because, you know, this administration, and I think the American foreign policy establishment in general, and also European as well, because they fundamentally misunderstood Ukraine, is that what's happening now is a dramatic paradigm shift. You know, most people, you know, I remember the 1979 Islamic Revolution, and I remember the embassy crisis as well. And since then, there's been this narrative about Iran as being ostracized, being closed off from the world, somehow alien, which is completely antithetical to the history of Persia, Persian civilization. And this is a self-owned by this White House that's allowing Iran to return to its natural place in the region, and that is a great power. And Iran is not going to lose this opportunity. It's determining the terms of engagement right now, and it will determine largely the outcome of this whole saga. Alex.
Excellent point, Peter. Excellent point. America, it's to me, it's game over here. There is no way back from this. The shock that's going to go through the markets here, the financial markets. I've been a derivatives trader for 20 years. I've seen some very suspect trades. We'll call him the trader in chief in the White House. You can call him the traitor and the trader in chief. Some nice bets for the tune of $950 million minutes before Truth Social, or I'll call it Trump Social, goes out. So this is a, you know, a band of brothers. They love to bomb, they love to bankrupt, and they love to bully people. It's over. This is it. Go home, boys. Take Jarrett with you, the Undertaker, and the Clan. As we said, with one of our panel members said that these guys are making the Biden administration guys look like geniuses. Time to pack up, boys. Head home. Nice try, but not going to happen this time.
Yeah, Foreste, it was pointed out to me earlier today that the number of PhDs that are held by the members of parliament in Iran, the comparison is anybody in the American administration capable of reading books, let alone writing them? I live in Russia. Russia's part of BRICS. Russia feels part of the global South because of the machinations of Western neoliberalism, and this is an opportunity for the globe. The globe is rooting for Iran. Iran is the country people want to see because it's a pivot. I mean, I'd be curious what all of you would have to say. I look at, you know, historical dates like 1918, 1945, 1990, 91, and now we have 2026. This is a pivot in history. Go ahead.
Yes, actually, and it seems that the world, especially the South world, I mean, what you call it, I mean, the BRICS is the representative of them. They are coming to this reality that nobody can trust the United States and European Union at all. Unfortunately, this war proves to everybody that Americans claim to have much intelligence about everybody in the world, but they didn't know anything about the Iranians. Had they known that Iranians would rally around the flag and they would support the Islamic Republic, despite all grievances or economic difficulties that they have been mostly created by sanctions that they have been imposed by the European Union and the United States for more than four decades, they would know that this war wouldn't end in 3 or 4 days as Netanyahu has sold to President Trump. And unfortunately, President Trump thought that, oh, we come, we hit, we go, and everything is finished. Now we see that now they are more than us in a mess.
You know, Daniel, there's the overriding, I would say, a kind of consensus of people that think about foreign policy the way we all do on this program here, is that somehow Trump was tricked by Netanyahu. He was, you know, bamboozled. As I said earlier, the responsibility goes on the shoulders of the president of the United States. But my theory is that Netanyahu and the Mossad, the fairy tale that they delivered to Trump, even they did not believe it, because all they really wanted to do was to get the United States into a war. And they knew it wouldn't be 72 hours. But once the U.S. is in the war, it will be very difficult for the U.S. to get out of it. And they've been proven right. Daniel.
Well, it's entirely predictable because it's exactly what we saw with Iraq, although this is obviously quite a bit worse, because we were promised if we went in, the regime would topple. They would greet us as liberators. They would toss flowers in the streets before the American
And it would
troops.
Pay for itself. It would pay for itself.
It would pay for itself, yeah. Good, profitable adventure for us. This is a confluence of different influences that caused this disaster. And one of them is Netanyahu and his lies. He's been lying for 30 years. They should have known that. But they also have the influence of the diaspora. And that happened with Iraq, too. Remember, we're bringing in people from outside who are going to come and rule. And well, it didn't work, but we were heroes in error. You know, and that's the same thing. The U.S. listened to the MEK. They listened to Iranians living in the U.S. who hadn't lived there for 20 years and didn't understand anything about the country, who assured them, because they wanted it to change, they wanted Pahlavi to come in, that it would be that way. And so that they didn't listen because they didn't want to listen. But the other thing, Peter, that's important, I think, is I've been watching U.S. foreign policy disasters for decades, but it's never really directly come home to our shores. We haven't had to endure the disasters that we visited on others. This will be the exception. And my colleague on the panel, Alex, I think is absolutely spot on. I was just reading that 70% of American farmers say they cannot afford to purchase enough fertilizer for their crops. The you know what is going to hit the fan big time. This is one foreign policy disaster that will come back, and Americans will feel the pain that they have put onto others with bombs and attacks and sanctions.
Alex, what is this going to do about how is this impacting global supply chains? Because once you shatter something in the global, these chains, trade arrangements that are in the world, they're very fragile. You can't play with them too much or interrupt them. What's the long-term lasting impact of this? Will different supply chains have to be developed because decision makers in Washington can not only destroy your day, you can destroy your future?
Well, it's apocalyptic. And that is the truth. This trade, I call it, or I guess attempt to try to take out Iran, has backfired. And what's going to happen is this puts the supply chains, not just with oil, natural gas, helium, fertilizer, all these logistical chains are at a standstill. Now, it's not like they can be, you know, revved up tomorrow morning and there's gas in the tank and everybody moves forward. This is, I would say, in calculations, probably a 3 to 5 year problem. And yeah, we are going to see people be short food. You know, I wish the administration would get off Polymarket and even some of their soldiers that bet on the Maduro invasion and made $400,000 before they got caught by prosecutors would pay attention to what's going to happen to the United States. What?
We're running out of time, but my personal note, these Polymarket things, it just shows the degradation of Western civilization.
Totally
betting
agree.
And making money off of disaster. It's pathetic. It's sick. And it's simply wrong. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guests in Lake Jackson, in China, and in Tehran. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, crosstalk rules.